The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Inside and out, we have this glorious day to celebrate our risen Savior. You know, I know sometimes I get a little thirsty when I preach up here. So, Monty, I thank you for the clarification on what the tank is for. You know, I wasn't going to keep you that long that I needed that much water. But, Monty, thank you for the clarification that that was for baptisms. But what a fantastic service we've had already. Thank you, Monty and Sarah. Thank you again. Special thanks to the praise team. You know, we're here for the sole purpose of celebrating our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. So I thank my Master, I thank my Savior, and I thank God. What a great song. What a great song. Thank you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you. We just thank you for this day. We thank you for what it means. We thank you for the change in our hearts that you have given us when we accept you as our Lord and Savior. But most of all, we thank you for the sacrifice, your death on the cross, but more importantly, the Super Bowl of Christianity, Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Amen. Today, we are going to discuss what could possibly be Jesus' favorite letter in the alphabet. How many teachers do we have in here? This is like Sesame Street all over again, okay? You, by the end of the sermon, you've got to guess which letter Jesus likes best. And EJ, it is not Q. I will give you a hint. No, that had nothing to do with it. Not Q as in C-U-E, Q as in the letter. But before we get to that, we kind of need to fill you in what's happened in the last week in the life of Jesus. Last week, Monty talked about Palm Sunday, and this is Resurrection Sunday, but there was a whole lot that happened in that week. Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and as Monty discussed last week, it was the first time Jesus allowed himself to be publicly recognized as the Messiah, the true Son of God. He was then rejected by the Jewish people. He suffered unspeakable shame, torture, and death on the cross.
But wait, why would the Son of God allow this to happen to him when all he had to do was summon a legion of angels to his defense?
Debbie, that's a great question, but we're going to get to that. Okay? Just hang on. We're going to get to that. Okay? But now we're caught up to Resurrection Sunday. Some of you may know it as Easter Sunday. The world has tried to dress it up with bunny rabbits and colored eggs, but it literally could be considered the most important day in the history of Christianity. Like, where'd Case go? Case said it could be Super Bowl Sunday for all Christians.
So let's start in Matthew 28, 1 through 7 in the New Living Translation. Oh, and Siri's on it. Look at that. Siri's always on it. Okay. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you."
Jesus rose from the dead, just like he has predicted. He was resurrected. Resurrection literally means the revival of something. If you find the tomb of Muhammad, his bones are still in there. The grave of Buddha, yep, still buried. But the tomb that held Jesus' body for 3 days is empty. It's what makes Christianity different, is that we serve a risen Lord. And he promises that even after our death, we'll be resurrected along with him as long as we believe.
So let's go on to Colossians 3:1 in the New Living. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority.
We're here to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, but why was Jesus' death necessary in the first place? Hopefully you all know the story of God himself sending his son to be an atonement for our sins. He was born in a manger, died a horrible death on the cross, all to bring us salvation. Reconciliation, if you will. Reconciliation is the restoration of friendly relations. Do you realize that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are actually considered to be at war with God? You are his enemy. That sounds pretty harsh, but that's the way it is.
So the Bible tells us in James 4:4, and again in the New Living, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. And then also in Matthew 18:11-14, this time we're in the Passion. The Son of Man has come to give life to all who were lost. Think of it this way. If a man owns 100 sheep and one lamb wanders away and is lost, won't he leave the 99 grazing on the hillside and thoroughly search for the one lost lamb? And if he finds his lost lamb, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. Now you should understand that it is never the desire of your heavenly Father that a single one of these little ones should be lost. Amen.
Do you know that Jesus already knows all we've done? Every little detail. And it still didn't stop him from coming. It's imperative that you understand that Jesus comes to meet you where you are. You don't have to clean up, not even in a big tank. That's the point. You don't have to be good enough. We're not good enough. We never have been good enough, and we never will be good enough. We will not now, not ever, until we are reconciled with him. Do you know that it only takes one to forgive? Your sins have already been forgiven, even if you haven't asked for it, but it takes two for reconciliation. Jesus can offer to come into your life. He actually says, "Lo, I stand at the door and I knock." But you still have to answer the door. He will not force himself in. He's standing there with the olive branch of peace, ready to extend it to you and have forgiveness, wanting to be your friend. Do you remember that old hymn, "Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus"? He's only our friend if we let him in. So we've seen Jesus resurrected. We've seen him wanting to reconcile with us. But it still hasn't answered Debbie's previous question as to why he came. Romans begins to explain it to us.
We're in Romans 3:22-25. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes. No matter who we are, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for our sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood.
So what does that mean in layman's terms? He came to redeem us. Are you starting to get an idea what Jesus' favorite letter might be? Other than not Q? It's redemption, the act of saving or being saved from sin.
So in John 1:29-30, the very next day, John saw Jesus coming to him to be baptized. And John cried out, "Look, there he is, God's Lamb. He takes away the sin of the entire world. I told you that a mighty one would come who is far greater than I am, because he existed long before I was born." But what's the big deal about sin? In 1 John 3:4-6, everyone who sins is breaking God's law. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him.
So now we see that we need redemption, but we can only have that if we
repent.
Another clue. Look at these guys over here. They're all over it, yeah.
So we wanted to take a moment and talk about the ABCs of salvation, right? Are you wanting to be reconciled with God today? Has anything, I don't know, that Thank God song just totally says it, right? Did anything today prompt you to be reconciled with God? It starts with admitting and acknowledging that you need a Savior. You have sinned, and admitting that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're stubborn people sometimes, right? I know I am. Eric, don't be agreeing back there. Okay? We need to start by admitting that we need that Savior. Then we need to believe that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God. We've shown you that this morning, right? He's not in the tomb anymore. Okay? Then we confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life. Okay? If any of you have come to that realization today, as soon as service is over, there will be people here to pray for you with that. Let's go on to Acts 3, 18 and 19. Someday I'm very excited about the blinds that will be up here, because short people get a glare on the iPad here. Just saying. But in spite of what, I'm sorry, in Acts 3, 18 through 19, but in spite of what you've done, God has fulfilled what he foretold through the prophets long ago about the sufferings of his anointed one. And now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed and so that times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence.
So now we've seen through Christ's resurrection that we can have reconciliation, amen. We can have redemption after we repent, but there's still one part of this wonderful plan left. You know, there's a story of a little boy. His dad was the pastor of the church. And his dad said, next Sunday, I want everybody to go out and invite their friends and neighbors to come to church. And all week, the little boy thought about it. And he's like, Dad, we got to go out and we got to ask people. And his dad was like, we'll get to it, son. And so the little boy went up to his room and he took some cardboard, construction paper and different things, and he made hearts and he made invitations to come to church the following Sunday. And he kept talking to his dad, Daddy, we got to go. We need to invite our friends, just like you said from the pulpit on Sunday. And the dad kept saying, we'll do it, son, we'll do it. And then Saturday came and it was pouring rain. And the little boy said, Dad, we got to go out. It's only one more day till Sunday. And the dad said, son, it's pouring rain. Nobody's going to be out. Nobody's really going to want to talk to us. And plus, it's only one day till Sunday. They probably already have plans. The little boy said, no, Daddy, you said we were supposed to do this. You told everybody in the congregation to do it. And the pastor said, son, I'm sorry, but it's really too late. The little boy had all these hands full of cards, and so he put his boots on and his coat on, and he went out in the rain, and he knocked on neighbors' doors, and he gave them a little card, and they're like, oh, yeah, thank you. And he went through the rain, and he was getting soaked, and the cards were getting soaked, and he didn't come across anybody that was willing to come to church the next day. But he had one card left, and at the end of the street, there was this older house. He had never really known who lived there, but he had one card left. And so he went down there, and he knocked on the door, and nobody answered, but he could see there was a light on. He waited another minute or so, and he knocked a little harder on the door, and still there was no answer. He said, I got one card left, Lord. What am I going to do with this? One card left. I'm out of houses. I'm out of neighbors. And so he knocked one more time on the door, and the third time he knocked, the door opened, and it was a little old lady who was sitting there answering the door. And he took that invite, and he said, ma'am, Jesus loves you, and he would like you to come to our church tomorrow. And the lady starts crying, and she says, young man, I'll be there. I promise. And so the next day, the church is full, and sitting right in the front row is that little old lady. And the pastor at the end of the service says, does anybody have anything they'd like to say? And that little lady stood up and she says, you know what? She said, I used to go to church. I used to have a relationship with God, but I think he abandoned me a long time ago. My life has been difficult. My life has been hard. I lost my husband 3 years ago. I don't have any friends. I don't know anybody. And I was just praying, Lord, for the final time, if you're real, you need to let me know. And right in the middle of it, somebody interrupted my prayer. And I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to ignore the door. I'm not going to answer it. I really need to hear from you. And when the third knock came and I finally opened that door, there was a little boy who let me know that God himself cared about me. God himself wanted to restore his relationship with me. Restoration, this word means bringing something back to its former condition. Do you realize that we were created in God's image? And he never wanted to see us go astray. Yet we all have. But through reconciliation and redemption and repentance, we can have restoration.
We can look in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Anybody felt that way lately? Amen. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
So this further answers my question from before. Why would the creator of the universe care if a mere human being did something wrong and then repented? I believe it's because I think God himself seeks restoration with his children, all of his children. He says in his word, his desire is that not one shall perish, but all should come to everlasting life. These are just a few of the words that I came up with of why I think that Jesus really likes the letter R. Because he is the resurrection, he can offer redemption, which allows the reconciliation, which results in restoration, but only if you repent. If you have any questions whatsoever about any of these R words, please come up afterwards. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to visit with you. But even if it's none of those, we'd just like to hug your neck and say hi. And for those of you who are new to our little church here, we'd love to meet you and greet you. And we have one more thing that we need to do today, don't we? So let us close in prayer, and then Miss Sarah will come up, and we'll go from there. Dear Heavenly Father, dear God, Lord, we just come before you. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, that we may be reconciled, redeemed, restored with you. Lord, it is your free gift. It is sitting there just waiting for us to unwrap it, and we thank you for it. It's in your precious Holy Son's name we pray on this Resurrection Sunday. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everyone that's going to be baptized, if you go ahead and make your way out to the foyer, and I'll be right out there with you. We're going to talk about you for a second. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, baptism is a public display of a condition that's already happened in believers' hearts. It's an act of obedience and a public display of their faith. Amen? And it's a powerful, powerful time. And so we're excited about it. It's a blessing. We're glad you all came to celebrate. this public declaration of the saving grace and the righteousness we have in Christ Jesus. It's another R for you. Amen? Amen. So,
I just want to thank Eric and Debbie for that excellent message, because it doesn't get old, does it? He loves us. So while they're all getting ready and Pastor Monty is talking to them, we're going to go ahead and do our Lighthouse Confessions together. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time today, we have such a strong belief in the power of God's Word. His words bring life. And so together, at the end of every service, the Lighthouse Church says these blessings that are directly these confessions that are directly from the Word of God. So please go ahead and join us as we say our confessions. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. But whatever I do will prosper, because I am like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. With what measure I meet, it is measured unto me. I sow bountifully, therefore I reap bountifully. I give cheerfully, and my God has made all grace abound toward me. And I, having all sufficiency of all things, do abound to all good works. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. And in my pathway there is life, and there is no death. I am a doer of the word of God, and I am blessed in my deeds. I am happy in those things I do, because I am a doer of the word of God. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, I establish his word upon this earth. Amen. So another thing that the Lord really put on our heart years ago is to make us aware and remind us of how much he loves us, and the fact that he has blessings for his people literally peppered all over scripture. He loves us so much. He wants every good thing for his kids. And so right now, I'm going to encourage you to close your eyes and listen to these blessings from the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, who has not left us without a kinsman redeemer, Christ the Lord. May he become famous throughout the earth. May the Lord give you strength. May the Lord bless you with his peace. May you be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. May the Spirit of the Lord rest on you, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. May the Lord console you when you mourn, giving you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you may be called a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Blessed are all who fear the Lord and who walk in his ways. May you be strengthened by the truth that God is the Lord who heals you. May you be strong and courageous as you set out to accomplish the work God has called you to do. May you not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, your God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. May you always be a rich, fertile soil, ready to receive the life-containing seed that is the Word of God. May his word sprout in you, grow, and yield a bountiful harvest 30, 60, and even 100 times what he has sown and will sow in you. May the Lord plant you in the midst of that which he has promised you. May you no more be pulled up out of the promises he has given you. May you increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. May God pour out his spirit on your children. May he pour out his blessing on their children after them. May they spring up like grass in a meadow, and may they grow like poplar trees near flowing streams. Blessed be the King who is eternal, imperishable, and invisible. The only God there is. Let there be honor and glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So now my task is to talk while everybody gets ready, and I'm not the best at small talk. So here we go, guys. I actually do want to let you know, next Tuesday at 6, we have our next worship night. And yes, exactly. We are so excited about having these worship nights between Bible studies. They are such a good time for us to be able to connect on a more intimate level with the Lord, to enjoy some of the prophetic, and just have fellowship together in our love for the Lord. So that is coming up next Tuesday. And then the Tuesday after that, we're going to be starting our newest Bible study, which is Hearing God's Voice. How many of you have the desire to hear his voice? You know he loves you, but you don't quite know how to do that. I discovered at a later age as a Christian that I had been hearing his voice all along and I didn't know it. So this is going to be a really exciting Bible study. So that's coming up, not this coming Tuesday, but the following. So that'll be the 18th, Hearing God's Voice. And it looks like we are almost all here. That's awesome.
All right. Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble.